cannot breathe through your nose with your tongue out. Did you know that? You cannot breathe through your nose with your tongue out. Okay, please tell me you didn't try number three. Because if you did, you'll realize that it's possible, but you kind of look like a dog. And you're smiling because I got you on that one. Okay, so are you ready for the best preaching you've ever heard?
Yeah.
That's quite a statement, huh? And there we go. Okay, well, okay. Well, it's going to be by Jesus Christ. So, not me. By Jesus Christ, because we're going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus Christ basically preaching. So he's on the mount, he's preaching, okay? So this is what today's sermon is based on, Jesus, as he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. So we're in Matthew 6:19, and Jesus says, "Do not accumulate for yourselves treasures on earth." Now that's a really pretty simple statement, but it's a very, very difficult statement to swallow. You see, Jesus was in direct conflict with the Pharisees, who we understand from Luke, loved money. They loved money. So when Jesus made this statement, not to accumulate treasures on earth, it was not a popular thing to say. And in fact, not only is it not popular then to say, but it really is not any more popular today to say than back then. Because the fact is that our culture, including the Christian culture, believes in what I'm going to call the American dream. Our Christian culture will teach, as much as our society teaches, that it's really all about prosperity on earth. I mean, look at what we see in education. You know, you raise kids because you can get a good job, make a lot of money, and be rich, and have a nice home, and have a car. I mean, that's what we teach. We teach it. I mean, the truth is, we teach it in our own homes, don't we, as Christians? It's part of our Christian culture. As much as it isn't what Jesus taught, it is our culture. It's in our politics. Who do we vote for? We vote for the person that is going to give us the most economic prosperity. It's just so part of our emotional being, of being an American, and probably just being a citizen of the world, huh? It's in our very being so strongly that it causes us, I believe, to be blind and essentially unwilling to accept the simple statements that Jesus makes about wealth, which is, do not accumulate for yourselves treasures on earth. We are able to somehow just keep on going. I know you said that, Jesus, but and just emotionally trick ourselves into thinking that somehow he didn't really mean that statement. And, you know, it's difficult. It's been difficult. It's difficult for me, just as much as I'm saying it. It doesn't make it any easier. I understand. We're all in this together. And the fact is, we are emotionally tied to this idea of the American dream. So Jesus goes on to explain some of the reasons why this is not what we're to do. He goes on to say, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. You know, the fact is that treasures on this earth do not last, and Jesus was articulating that. They get stolen. They get destroyed. Back in the day, they had nice clothes if you were rich, and the moths would get to them, and that's what they were speaking of there. You know, things go wrong. You can make a lot of money and you can lose a lot of money as fast as you make it. And the fact is, it's just hard to hold on to. You know, when I was a kid, I lived in California and I used to enjoy making sandcastles. And you have to make a sandcastle pretty close to the water because it's wet sand. And I didn't quite get what was going to happen. I didn't really understand tides, and I'd make my sandcastle, and you know, that thing would just keep on coming. And so then we'd think, well, we got to save our sandcastle. It's really nice. And so I'd start doing a ditch around the thing. You dig a ditch, and so the water comes in around the ditch, and then you build a dam. And the harder you go at it, the more you eventually realize this isn't going to work. The waves are going to take down your sandcastle. And I think that's kind of what Jesus is saying about life. No matter how much you think that you're going to be able to put it all together, things are going to go wrong and you're going to lose them. And even if it doesn't, the fact is you can't take them with you. So when you really think about it, it is not what we would call an excellent investment. Nope. It is not an excellent investment at all. So on the Sermon on the Mount, the first point he's making in this passage is don't pursue earthly treasures because they won't last. Then he goes on in 6:20, he says, but accumulate for yourselves treasures in heaven. So he has an alternative. Not only do I not want you to pursue treasures on earth, instead I want you to pursue them in heaven, where, by the way, you don't have to worry about the moths and rust. They don't destroy them. The thieves don't break in and steal, because treasures in heaven are forever. So this, we would say, is an excellent investment. They will last forever and ever. That's where I want to put my money. So with that said, I ask the question, so why? I think all of us know what I just said to be true. We've probably considered this before. I'm not saying anything new. So then why do we squander our time and energy on treasures that won't last? Why do we do that when we know what we just said? Well, let me explain one way I want to think about it. So this is me when I was 8 years old. And that's my wife clapping, so she can clap for me. So I'm 8 years old, right? And I can remember being 8 years old. And one thing about me is I never had an interest in school. I always liked athletics. I liked recess. You know, I liked those kinds of things. I never liked studying. I never liked school. I never liked anything. I always wanted to play and do sports. And no matter how much my parents would explain to me that when you grow up, you're going to get a job and you're going to need an education and, you know, yada, 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 yada. Right? I just didn't, you're just talking because it just goes right past me because I just am not motivated in that way. You want to talk about something that interests me, talk about sports, and then all of a sudden I'll be interested again. So at 8 years old, it was impossible. So in my mind, it was so far away that what you're telling me doesn't even matter. But the truth is, I was extremely wrong about my perception of how time would work. Because the fact was, 10 years later, here's me, I'm 18 years old, and in hindsight, when I look back at it, especially now, I'm 52 now, and I look back, and that was a long time ago. That was like, so that those 10 years in hindsight were like just, you know, snap, 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 right? And so when I think about it now, in fact, 2/3 of my life has been lived as an adult. And thinking back when I was a kid and I was looking forward and it just seemed forever and I would be 18, that's just like, I don't even want to hear about it. And now 2/3 of my life has been lived as an adult. And so it causes me to wonder, when we get to heaven and we are looking back and we're talking about the treasures, the investment that we made on earth and the temporary nature of them versus the eternal nature, how are we going to imagine 300 years in the future from today? Look, where none of us will be here in 300 years. I don't know if we'll be able to see the earth or not, or if the rapture will be taking place, but if we could see back, how will we look at it then? How will we look at the way we are living life today? Will it be like me looking at myself as a kid where I said, why couldn't I get through to that kid? I mean, it just makes sense. You're going to grow up. Time will go by, son. Actually, it was myself. Time will go by, myself. We're talking to my own kids. Time will go by. The same thing is true about us. Time will go by, and we will not want what we lived our life for. We will have lived our life for vain things. So number two that Christ is speaking of in this passage, pursue heavenly treasures that last forever. Then he goes on, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I ask you this question, has your heart been stolen away from God? Because we treasure that vacation so much that our heart is taken? Has your heart been taken into your treasures, whether it's the dream of the house and it's saving up for that dream, the dream of the vacation, the dream, whatever it is, that it's so much your hope that it steals your heart away from God because it owns you. It's your hope. When I was, not very long ago, I had a saltwater fish tank that I loved. And I loved it for a lot of reasons. It was a pretty big tank. It was like 225-gallon tank, and it had another 150 gallons of, they call it a sump that's behind it, and I had a wave machine that would cause a wave to crash into the corals and cause them all to move around, you know, and I really liked it. I loved it. In fact, some of the animals that I liked the most, this guy up here, that's called a dog-face puffer. Doesn't he look like a dog? It's kind of, I thought it was so fun, and if he gets scared, he blows up, and he almost got sucked in this filter one time, and he blew all up, and it was really cool. And I love that, and he had big old teeth on him, too. And I love that dog-faced puffer. Then I had a clownfish, and clownfish, they love the anemones, and so they just kind of bask amongst the anemones, and that, to me, was just really cool to see. And then I had this urchin, and what's neat about them is this guy right here looks like an eye, but it's actually where they poop. And we didn't know that. I thought it was an eye at first until all kinds of little speckles came out of them. And like, that's definitely not an eye. And then they have all these little feet. You don't realize it, but they have all these million with little suction cups, and they suck on everything, and they use those long tentacles, not tentacles, but they're spikes to, they'll take food, and they'll get it down and somehow get it in there and eat it. Very cool animal. Or this is called a spiny starfish. A brittle starfish. And the brittle starfish, what I liked about it is it takes the rocks way at the end, and it would pass them all the way up and then eat the stuff off the rock and then drop it. So these were, these are just an example of some of the animals I had in this fish tank. And I had this fish tank a number of years, and I started to really realize some years ago that I was attached to certain things in life. And I felt like, I think I might like this tank too much. I think that it actually, it costs a fair amount of money, and it takes time, effort, and I was like, I think, I guess I felt convicted about it. I felt like it's taking some of my heart that I don't want it to take from the Lord. And that was a difficult thing for me, and I kind of brushed it aside. Then a couple months later, I was thinking about it again, and I thought, well, maybe I'll get rid of the tank because it's the same reason I brushed it aside. And I brushed it aside quite a few times until one day I told my wife, I said, honey, I guess I really can't keep brushing this aside. I mean, the fact that I keep having this conviction about it, I've got to do something. I've got to sell the fish tank. And so I did end up selling that fish tank. And it's just, though, the tip of the iceberg, because I know that I still have an addiction to the American dream. I still want things that I think are going to make me happy. I'm still not sold on what Jesus is saying is absolutely true. But I think it was a step for me to move in that direction and seek to do what God would want me to do in my life. So the third one is that your heart is with your treasure. It really is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's very, very true. And if you want your heart to be closer to God, you can't think that you can have all these earthly treasures and then your heart be with God. Your treasures need to be where your heart is. Then we go on into the 24th verse. And Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money. And I think what he's saying there, you can't have it both ways. And it follows right in line with the heart statement, that where your heart will be. And the reason he's saying this whole thing, the reason he's saying you can't pursue wealth and me is at the same time because it takes your heart. You can't go down both of these roads. You can't totally go down the road of, "God, I'm going to serve you with my life. And by the way, God, I'm going to serve all the things that I want, all my vacations." And if your heart, you can't have your heart in two places. And he's very explicit about this. This whole passage, he's explaining that you have to make a choice. If you really want a relationship with God that's deep in your heart, then you have to be committed to that one thing, which is Jesus Christ. So the last thing there is that you cannot serve both God and money, at least wholly. So then I don't know about you, but oftentimes as I think through this issue, I wonder to myself, okay, well then, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean I'm supposed to give up everything? And maybe that's how you're feeling. What do you want me to do? Just give up everything? And, you know, as I think about it, I think that very question demonstrates how far off we all are. How far off we are because we are not really realizing the truth. We are not really seeing that this is not all that there is. This life is not all that there is. We have a hope that is eternal. We have a hope with our Heavenly Father. Our hope is to be with Him in a loving relationship that lasts forever and ever and ever. Our hope is not an earthly hope. It's not. And as long as we think it is, then yes, we will be sucked into these treasures on earth because it will seem like the most logical thing to do. But when we really get it, that question no longer makes any sense. We no longer would even really concern ourselves with the things of this earth when we really start to get our eyes connected on Jesus Christ and our relationship with our God, our Heavenly Father. I mean, we have an eternal hope. And as we come to grips with that hope, it all starts to make sense. That blindness that didn't allow us to get it, to understand the words of Jesus Christ and how that could, and be open to it, to really be willing to consider what he's saying is so hard until we really start to trust that this is real. And as we trust that this is real, then these things over here on earth start to lose their value. because we have something so, so much greater ahead of us. Let's close in a word of prayer.